My name is Eric Bibler. I'm a full-time resident of Weston, Connecticut. I'm the president of Save Our Seashore, which is based in Wellfleet, Massachusetts. There are thousands and thousands of people around the world that are reporting empirically that they were fine before the wind turbines were installed, and they're no longer fine. They have symptoms that vary from person to person, but the list of symptoms is relatively consistent and consists of, you know, sleep deprivation, which is a recognized health issue, headaches, ringing in the ears, pressure on the ears, those kinds of effects. And in addition, the so-called flicker, which is a very intense strobe-like effect, which is almost intolerable. It's very, very disrupting, and people can't function normally. It's as if someone's turning the light switch on and off every second, and people have a low tolerance for that. The issues are complicated to begin with, and the acoustics are complicated. The health issues are complicated. The information that's coming out is evolving all over the world. There's definitely a trend towards more caution and more conservatism and more outright acknowledgement of potential problems, kind of overcoming the denial that there is a problem and evolving in the direction of a solution. But every individual board that faces this problem now has to get up a fairly steep learning curve in an attempt, you know, to try to make a good decision for their town. But I think on the Cape, this has been especially complicated by the fact that most of the projects have been municipal rather than private. So the towns are conflicted. Every town is facing budgetary problems, you know, trying to pay the bills for their schools and their police forces and so forth in an era, against a backdrop of declining tax revenues. So they're all struggling, and suddenly they have this project to consider that will create revenue for the town, and it seems to solve a lot of their other problems. So they're faced with this very complex task of trying to determine what the impacts might be, but at the same time, there's this temptation because it seems to be this revenue generator. It seems to be that you can build one of these cash-generating machines and solve a lot of problems. People say, I went to Vinylhaven, or I went to Falmouth, and I took a bus trip to Falmouth, and I stood at the foot of the wind turbine, and I don't think it's any big deal. You know, so you hear that kind of thing. That's really irrelevant. You know, if you don't live there, and you don't live there under varying conditions, and particularly if you're not sleeping there every night, when the ambient noise may drop and there may be high winds at the level of the wind turbine, but not that much noise, ambient noise at the level of your house, you really can't judge. I guess in conclusion, I'd just like to say that this is a very complex topic, and I would encourage everyone to study it closely and try to keep an open mind. It gets pretty emotional, but at the end of the day, I hope that everybody will remember that these large-scale wind turbines are large-scale electric power plants, and they emit very significant and complicated amounts of noise, and they have other effects from flicker and so forth. So, you know, they really are incompatible with these other uses of land like residences and conservation and historic preservation. And if we start from the perspective of saying that we have a wind energy goal or program and all of these other aspects ought to accommodate that, we're going to be in trouble. We need to begin by understanding that they're incompatible with those other uses. And then if we're going to find a place to implement it, you have to find a place where it doesn't clash with these other legitimate objectives that we all have, social and private objectives. And I think that is the perspective from which we should evaluate the merit of all these projects.